I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our guest, as I just mentioned before, he is one of our standout analysts that we have here on the show talking football with us regularly, which is always awesome, and for the NFL Network. The coverage begins tomorrow night. Be tapped into it because the NFL Network always does a phenomenal job. You can see Charles on the NFL Network's coverage of tomorrow night's draft beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Time from Cleveland. Mr. Charles Davis on the show. Charles, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, D.A. How have you been?
I've been great, and I'm so excited that the draft is finally here. And
yeah, we all are.
I was super interested in your latest mock draft, which was published this morning, which is a really good read for our listeners at NFL.com. Of course, you have Trevor Lawrence at one and Zach Wilson at two. And I was wondering about Zach Wilson. If we were to zoom back before the pro day and before months of conjecture, would you have had Zach Wilson at number two? Because it feels like it became cemented, but not until there was a lot of analysis about it. And then it kind of became just law.
Yeah, it's a good point, D.A. I think to me, the Zach Wilson going at two happened before the real discussion happened before the pro day. And I think the pro day did actually give, okay, we're good now. And the reason I say that is if you got to go back, you got to go back through his career. And I won't recount every step of the way because we don't have that much time. But as a freshman, he beat out a senior quarterback in Tanner Mangum that they really liked at BYU. So that's not easily done. Then he played through a couple of years of injuries and dings, and people started to say, well, is he really, he's playing with a bad thumb, he's playing with a bad shoulder, but the kid kept trying to play through these things. And then he got healthy the entire offseason, and if you go back and punch up the tape throughout the year, all the stuff you saw at Pro Day, you saw him do in-game. You saw the accuracy, you saw the big arm, you saw the off-platform throws, but you also saw the throws from the pocket that were accurate, sharp, throws a deep ball well. Really carved up UCF in the bowl game. Now, UCF missed a few players, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, that kid was dynamite. Did they get to play the big-time schedule? No. But if you go back and look at the schedule BYU had set prior to COVID, he would have played some of those games, and I think he would have acquitted himself quite nicely. So I felt like that momentum was there and the tape was there. But I do think, D.A., the pro day that everyone got to watch on TV, that probably did it for the consensus for the rest of the country. I think the scouts and the teams were already locked in on him at that point. Mm.
At number three, we've heard Mac Jones so often that it has also felt like, well, it's very predictable. You do not have the Niners at three selecting Mac Jones. You have them taking North Dakota State's Trey Lance. Is this based out of information that you have, or just because you believe Trey Lance is a greater prospect with better potential than Mac Jones?
Well, it's a combo. There's information there and speculation, and it's not coming from San Francisco because darn well, I've known John Lynch for a long time, but he's smarter than to have a conversation with me about that, right? I've known Kyle Shanahan. You think Kyle's going to spend any time discussing that? No, that's what teams do, then they do it well. But when I talk with other people who are in high positions, right, the player personnel people, the GM people, the top scouts, and we just kick it back and forth along the way, there is so much conversation. And everyone has pretty much said something similar to this, D.A., and here it is. Mac Jones would be a specific pick for Kyle. There's things that he likes in a quarterback. There's things he loves. And Mac Jones, if he feels like he provides it, have any qualms and no worries about confidence level of taking a guy at three that everyone else would have as the number five quarterback because he fits what he does. But other people have said to me, I don't see going that high up for Mac Jones at three. If I'm going that high up, I'm going for the better athlete, the better prospect, blah, 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 blah. So that's part of the thing that goes with it. I think Trey Lance can run that offense, and we'll see if they keep Garoppolo or not. You've seen all the rumors, heard all the rumors. Does he go? Does he not go? But that kid, I just see the potential of a Josh Allen happening with Trey Lance.
That's a good breakdown. I like that in terms of trading up. If you're the 49ers, as Charles Davis, NFL Network, joins us this morning, and you're going to trade away multiple first-round draft picks, are you going to do that for Mac Jones or the guy with the higher ceiling? And everybody believes that Trey Lance, if it works, can really work. Do you think that Trey Lance has the second highest ceiling out of the quarterbacks in this draft behind Trevor Lawrence or the third behind Zach Wilson as well?
I think he's got the highest ceiling. I do. Because,
more than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, because and the reason I say that, D.A., is not that Trevor Lawrence can't be exceptional and I expect him to be. But he's closer to it because of where he's been, who the games he's played in, right? The attention that he's had for so long, the Elite 11s, you name it. So is he closer to his ceiling? More than likely, just because of the way he's been coached up. With Trey Lance, it's not that he hasn't received coaching. That's folly. He has. But he's playing at North Dakota State. They were supposed to play, I believe, Iowa in 2020 and maybe another Power Five. It didn't work out. So he never got that opportunity. Everyone he played, I believe, was 1AA level. That's why I think that it's there. And he didn't play in 2020. You know, so that's another year that he didn't get a chance to develop in terms of game experience. That's why I think it's all there. I know it's a heavy burden to put the Josh Allen thing on him. But I just think their stories are so similar. And you know, it's almost like reading a book. Hey, high school. Nah, we don't think you can play quarterback, said the big schools, both of them. Okay, they got to go different routes to get there. Okay, now we're coming out. I don't know about your accuracy and, you know, the level of competition you played and blah, blah, blah. Here we are. Well, 3 years into Josh Allen's career, he's improved his completion percentage by 16 points. That's unheard of in NFL. Trey Lance has similar traits, similar skill sets. I know he loves the game, and we use that term all the time, but scouts and GMs have raved about his brain and the enthusiasm and how he carries himself and the reports they get from people around him. They are totally sold on him as a person.
Charles Davis is our guest this morning here on the DA Show before tomorrow night's round number one of the NFL draft. At number five, the Bengals have a choice. Do they go offensive lineman, Penei Sewell, or do they go one of these big-time wide receivers like Ja'Marr Chase or Jaylen Waddle? Do you think that there's a clear decision in how you support Joe Burrow between those two positions at number five?
There's no clear decision, DA. This is one where it's an embarrassment of riches. What's your conviction on how you do it? And what I broke down in my late, do I just take the obvious choice and don't overthink it and go left tackle? I mean, Anthony Munoz has endorsed him. That's Bengals royalty. I mean, why do anything else, right? Endorse the left tackle, protect your quarterback. That's conventional wisdom. If Pitts is still sitting there at five, well, is it the tight end or is it Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver? Because of this one thought that keeps hitting me. This is a draft that left tackles, say, plentiful, but it's a lot deeper than maybe the superstar game changers at the top of the board. So there is a thought process that you go get that guy first and come back and get yourself a tackle at the start of the second round. That's kind of how I broke it down on this one. But I just don't think there's any wrong way for them to go. If you go Sewell, how can you protest that you're going to take care of Joe Burrow coming off of a knee injury? You give him Chase, they lit up the college world. You give him Pitts, he's supposed to be transcendent. I don't see how you lose on any of those.
So that's the question next for the Miami Dolphins after trading away Eric Flowers yesterday and a lot of movement on the offensive line in the offseason. Do you think that that's a signal that they are going to draft an offensive lineman at six? You have them taking wide receiver Jaylen Waddle at six.
Yeah. Yeah, I turned that in before I saw the Eric Flowers trade.
Yeah.
But I also don't know that I would have changed it, you know, because, again, we're in that process of the Dolphins have a second pick in the first round. They come back later on. Do you come back and get another offensive lineman, which that possibility will exist and it'll be there for them. They've got decisions to make, but if they are serious about that part, that does open things up, doesn't it? Because whoever the second offensive tackle is, let's say Sewell goes to Cincinnati at 5, DA. Do you just go ahead and grab Slater and punch him in at right tackle, where he's played a lot at Northwestern and played quite well? If you're going to move Hunt into guard, could make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And speaking of Slater, you know, you ended up having him go number 10 to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
There's been people that said, look, the Cowboys just need to get defensive playmakers, so best defensive player on the board. So, but you think actually offensive line could be of greater value to them at number 10 than defense?
Well, they just signed Dak Prescott to a monster contract who's coming off of a horrific injury. You know, you might want to make sure that happens. And by the way, that vaunted Cowboys line that we talk about all the time, DA, it's not the same as it was.
Wasn't it so vaunted last year?
It's not so vaunted, and they're going to need to get younger. And I could easily see if you took Slater. Remember, Jonathan Ogden played guard his first year in the NFL before becoming a Hall of Fame tackle. You could put Slater in a guard, and he could start right away, and they've had issues in the interior opposite Zach Martin. He could play right there for him, help protect Dak, and try and accumulate some defensive help later. That's the beauty of these mock drafts. There really is no right answer if you're going into places and you know what your personnel is and you have opportunities to discuss it. But at the same time, if they grab the defensive player, that absolutely makes sense because we've been their main issues, defensive side of the ball.
Definitely check out Charles's 2021 NFL Mock Draft 2.0, which is available right now at NFL.com, just updated and refreshed this morning. So check that out. It is a very cool look inside tomorrow night's round number one. You can watch Charles on NFL Network's coverage of tomorrow night's NFL Draft starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time from Cleveland. Charles, always good to talk to you, my man. Thank you so much for letting us pick your brain this morning, and we will talk to you hopefully later on in the offseason.
Look forward to it, DA. Thanks for the time. You take care of yourself. Continue to stay safe.
You too. Charles Davis, our guest this morning here on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.